Good morning. Good morning. Will you turn to 2 Thessalonians 2, please? 2 Thessalonians 2. Where are we going and how should we pray? We're going to look at a two-verse prayer in 2 Thessalonians 2. The prayers of the Bible are very helpful. Obviously, they show us how to pray, how to talk to God. We need to pray. So it's good that God shows us different ways to pray. There are better and worse ways to pray, though prayer is always good. But the prayers of the Bible also show us how to think about God. They show us how our relationship with God works. We are His people, and we have a relationship with Almighty God, the Maker of heaven and earth, which is a remarkable thought. So how does that relationship work? The whole Bible shows us how the relationship works, but the prayers, especially the Psalms and all the other prayers, give us different sides of what happens between God and us. And they help us to look at this from His side. So in this sermon today, we will ask and answer 9 questions, but they boil down to 2. Where are we going? And how should we pray? Knowing where we're going helps us understand why we pray the way we pray. Where are we going and how should we pray? So we're actually going to read 3 different scriptures in 1 and 2 Thessalonians. The first 2 tell us where we are going. And the 3rd is the actual prayer, showing us how to pray, which will make more sense after we know where we're going. Now, 2 Thessalonians 2:14. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. God called you through our gospel that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. How did God call us? That's the first question. God called us by means of the gospel. However you and I first heard the good news about Jesus the Savior, that was God's way of calling you. And calling me, He called us with the gospel. I did not experience the gospel as God calling me. I thought the gospel was offering me something good for me that I would be crazy to turn down. So we first believed for many reasons, good and bad, but this is how it looked from God's side. He was calling us to something. Second question, to what did He call us? To share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. God called you through our gospel that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is almost certainly not why we believe the gospel and turn to Jesus. That's no problem. God knows very well what our reasons were, but God is telling us why He called us and where He is taking us. He called us because He knew He would glorify Christ immensely, and He wanted us, you and me, to share in that glory. God called you that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, that's not how we think about the gospel, but that's how God was thinking. So God wanted to have followers who would receive glory too, because they followed Christ. So, third question, what is glory? We will share in His glory. What does that mean? The Hebrew word for glory can also mean heavy or weight. So picture a person weighed down with wealth and honor, position, power, respect, and light and radiant splendor are also a part of this. Majesty, heavy dignity. In the Old Testament, the bright cloud called the Shekinah, the God cloud, got so thick people couldn't stay in the building. God was invisible, but that cloud was somehow His glory. So glory somehow sums up this whole package, wealth and respect, position and power, and radiant splendor. Christ emptied Himself, and He became a slave. Christ humbled Himself and became obedient, right to death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and glorified him. And God wants that glory to spill over onto the followers of Christ. So God used the gospel to call you and me into this, that we would share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we'll look at our second preliminary scripture, 1 Thessalonians 2:12. 1 Thessalonians 2:12. Our fourth question repeats a question we asked at the start. To what did God call us? Second time around. So 1 Thessalonians 2:12 says, we were urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. So Paul's writing the Thessalonians, and he's reminding them of things he taught them while he was with them in Thessalonica. We were urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. So again, we read about being called. So the gospel was actually God calling us. And the core of this call is not to live worthy lives. The core of the call is God saying to us, come into my kingdom and glory. I want you in my kingdom and glory. Believe the gospel and follow my son so I can bring you into my kingdom and glory. That's the call. In the previous verse we read, we were called to share in Christ's glory. Here God wants to bring us into his kingdom and glory. The words are a little different, but it amounts to the same thing. So God wants us to enjoy his kingdom and his glory with him. That's where we're going. And from God's side, that was the purpose of the gospel all along, to get us into his kingdom and glory. We dumb down Christianity quite a bit sometimes, don't we? I don't know why, but we do. These Thessalonians were new believers. They had not learned that much, but for Paul, these things were basics. Question 5. What are we urgent about now? We urge you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. So worthy lives are not our calling. They are the result of our calling. Our lives shall fit our calling, but it is urgent that our lives fit our calling. So that's what the Christian life is. Is a life that's worthy of our calling. This is not the place to describe the Christian life, but to get at the heart of it, soak up the two big nines. Jesus began the Sermon on the Mount with 9 Beatitudes in Matthew 5. Paul listed 9 fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. If we grasp the 9 Beatitudes and the 9 fruit of the Spirit, we have the foundation of the Christian life. In short, in one line, love one another as Christ loved us. So we have an unbelievable calling into God's kingdom and glory, and it is urgent that our lives fit where we are going. And now we are ready for the prayer, which is in 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 11 and 12. The prayer is in 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 11 and 12. Let's read. We constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may fulfill your every desire for goodness and your every work of faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified by you and you by him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Point number 6, which is not a question. This is a prayer, folks. This is a prayer. This is something God does. By his power, may our God make you worthy according to the grace of God and the Lord Jesus. God does this. See, God helps us live the Christian life. He helps us live worthy of our calling. God's grace leads us to good works. We pray this for ourselves and we pray it for each other. And I love this. Prayers like this are the backbone of my own devotional life and the backbone of my prayers for this church. God, work in us what pleases you. Make us worthy of our calling. God, work in me what pleases you. Make me worthy of your calling. And God answers this. And my only hope for myself and for our church is that God will answer prayers like that. The Bible teaches this in quite a few places. If you keep your eyes open, you will see them. I was taught, at least what I picked up, was that God has given me the resources to live a worthy life, and now the choices were up to me. God freed me from bondage to sin, and God gave me the Holy Spirit, and now he's sitting back to see how I do with all this. That's what I assumed, and now it's up to me and my choice. So I was doing the wrong thing once when I was younger and I had to make a hard choice. Oh, that sounds like I only did the wrong thing once when I was young, and I don't mean that. One of the times when I was doing the wrong thing, I knew what was right, but I could not get myself to do it. And I told God, I don't know if you answer prayers like this, but if you can make me willing, I will do it. And God answered, not right away, but before long, I was ready to obey him, and I did. And then I found more and more scriptures had already promised that, and this prayer is one of them. Paul prayed that God would help them live worthy of their calling, because that's one of the great things God does for us, coming from his power and his grace. Number 7, the center of the prayer request and how that actually happens. The center of this request is that God would make us worthy of our calling. We've been called to share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. God called us into his kingdom and glory. Come to me and share my kingdom and glory with me. That's the call. So people who have this destiny should act like it now. We should live now in a way that fits where we're heading. That's what it means to live worthy of our calling. The trouble is, we are dark and selfish, and we are pulled around by all kinds of nasty things so that we don't live worthy. But God helps, and God answers this prayer. In the prayer, living worthy lives gets filled out by two other phrases. We pray that by his power he may fulfill your every desire for goodness and your every work of faith. Your every desire for goodness. So I will think of a way I could be genuinely good, and I will desire to do that. But if I'm left to my own, that's as far as it will get. My faith in God will suggest to me that I do something coming from that faith. But if I am left to my own, that suggestion is as far as it goes. In the prayer, we ask God by his power to fulfill these things, to see it through, so that it won't be just a desire or an idea. We will actually do it. Okay, here's the prayer again. We constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may fulfill your every desire for goodness and fulfill your every work of faith. And folks, the Thessalonians had troubles. They are the only church Paul wrote to that was being persecuted, but their persecutions come up in both letters. In 1 Thessalonians 1, Paul says to them, you welcomed the gospel amid severe suffering. In 2 Thessalonians 1, Paul writes about all the persecutions and troubles you are enduring. He does not write like that to any other church. But he does not pray for relief. No, he prays that they would live worthy of their calling so they can bring glory to Christ and Christ can bring glory to them. It's not wrong to pray for relief, not at all, but we're still getting some guidance from this about what's important. Number 8, what happens when God answers this prayer? Let's read the last half of the prayer again, which is not prayer at all, but it's telling us why to pray this. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified by you and you by him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We're back to glory again. The first verse we read from the next chapter told us that God called us through the gospel so we would share in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. If God answers this prayer that we would live worthy of our calling, then Christ gets glory from us and we get glory from him. So that means that the future glory has quite a bit to do with living worthy lives here and now. We pray that by God's power, he would help us live worthy lives now so that when we meet the Lord, he will be glorified by the kind of people we are now. And he will give us glory because of the kind of people we are now. So for that to work, we need to live worthy lives, and that takes prayer. People, we have desires to do something good, and then we actually do it. Our faith prompts us to do this or that, and then we do it. Our good desires and our faith prompts are actually fulfilled. I see all kinds of this in you. So that only happens because God, by his power, is answering prayers like this. And by his power, he's seeing to it that we fulfill and complete the things that our faith prompts. We don't always do this. We know that very well. But we do it often enough that we're very different people than if God never completed these desires. And this means we can glorify Christ and he can glorify us, which is what we're really after. 9, and last, what about human choice? Paul urged them to live lives worthy of their calling, and he also prayed to God that by God's power they will live worthy of our calling. You see, our choice is essential, but it is never enough. Our choice to obey is always necessary, and it is never sufficient. Our choice is always necessary, but never sufficient. Every right thing we've ever done began with our choice and was completed with God's grace and power. Every act of faith began with our choice, and God's power saw it to completion. And prayer is the bridge between the two. We choose and we pray. We choose and others pray. Or others pray and then we choose. But prayer is the bridge between our choice and God's power. And in this way, our choices and God's power produce worthy lives that bring glory to Christ and bring us glory from Christ. Amen. Let's pray. God, we know what to pray. O God, make us worthy of our calling. By your power, fulfill our every desire for goodness and our every work of faith. We pray this so the name of our Lord Jesus Christ will be glorified by us and we by him, according to your grace, God our Father, and your grace, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Will you rise, please, for the benediction? May the God of peace equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.